I want you to turn with me, please, to the Word of God. First of all, I'd like to introduce the message by saying four times, Habakkuk 2:4. I just refer to these, Habakkuk, Romans, Galatians, and Hebrews. These four passages all say the same thing. Habakkuk 2:4, and in the book of Romans, and in the book of Galatians 3:11, Hebrews 10:38, they all say the same thing. Now, he didn't have to say it four times. He could say it one time. That'd been enough. I hear people say, well, it's just not mentioned very much in the Bible. If it's mentioned one time, that's enough. And the verse that I'm going to preach on tonight, which is our theme verse on all of our literature and all of our stationery, now, N-O-W, now the just shall live by faith. Now, before we go any further, we better pray. I want all of my radio friends to pray, because you're not going to believe unless God gives you faith. Faith is the gift of God. I want us to pray. Our Father, as we do each day and night, we've tackled an impossible subject for people to believe unless we mix faith with the message and the truth. And dear Lord, remind us tonight that we're treading on sacred ground. We're walking where Jesus walked, where the apostles walked, where the martyrs walked. And Father, help us to know that what price they paid, we will be expected to pay. And Lord, I'm so glad it comes to a lot more than the cost when we walk with Thee. And I pray for faith to believe the truth. Prepare the heart, take out the world, and put in the spiritual things tonight. And may we sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Lord, I pray that actually we'll sit on heaven's rainbow with our feet hanging down. And we'll live on earth and board in heaven tonight. And feed on truth eternal. God bless our preachers and help us to know that the one thing we better learn to do is to live by faith and teach our people to live by faith. In Jesus' name, amen. I used to read the passage in Genesis 5:24 that said an Enoch walked with God. An Enoch walked with God. And he was not, for God took him. I said, Lord, why can't I walk with you? You don't love Enoch any more than you love me. He said, you can walk with me if you walk by faith. I said, how am I going to have the faith? He said, it's a gift. I said, how do I get it? He said, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. I want you to get that tonight. Faith doesn't come by looking at television. Faith doesn't come by reading the Chicago Daily or the Detroit News. Brother, faith comes out of one book. And that's the Word of God. Amen. And I might as well go a little further and get Brian to begin to start with. Faith, as far as I'm concerned, the kind I've got came out of the King James Version. Now, you help yourself to anything you want. But listen, everything I have or have done, or every joy I've ever had, salvation, keeping power, the call to preach, every bit of it came out of the King James Version, because that's the only kind of Bible I've ever had. Now, the just shall live by faith. Now, that throws you into the miraculous year and throws you out of kelter with everything around you, including religion. Now, I know that I'm introducing tonight a hard subject. Remember that Elisha said, now, Elijah, I'm going with you. He said, all right, go ahead. He's not going to go back. I told you to go back three or four times. And they tried to get him to go to college down there in the prophet school, you know. I mean, he said, no, may go when he get back, but I'm following this preacher. I'm going to cross the river with him because I'm going over there. I'm going to find out. He's got something I want. And Elijah took that old mantle and parted the water and walked across Jordan and made his approach to the international airport, didn't he? And brother, it wasn't very long till Elijah looked at him and said one more time, he said, son, what he wants? And a double portion of what you got. He said, if you see me, I'm going to go up, not down. You know what the world said to Elijah? I said, come down. He never did go down. He stayed up. He said, if you see me, I'm going to go up. And he didn't. And brother, that mantle of that old prophet fell on Elijah. And he got what he asked for. Went back to the river, maybe rolled up that mantle and popped the water and said, where's the Lord God of Elijah? He said, present and on time, and watched the water part. Brother, he got what he went after. Oh, I know. I think that this afternoon. He got back across, and of course, all the nice little manicured ministers met him. Ministerial Alliance and everything met him out there. And I imagine they said, where is Dr. Elijah? Old country boy just left the plow with 12 yoke of oxen and hanging out of the field very long. He said, last time I saw him beating through the crowd. Hey. Oh, they said, isn't that pathetic? We told you you ought to matriculate in school. You've had an emotional upset. I mean, you're having hallucinations, yeah? And you know what they did? Well, he didn't pay much attention to it. He just went on up to the next town, sweeping up the water, didn't he? While the ministers got together and said, Mr. Chief, to look for Dr. Elijah. Huh? It doesn't have sound modern. I get so tired of committee. If you want to...
from God. His name was John.
God got rid to build an ark. He didn't get a committee, he got a man. He said, no build an ark. Ends come. Build a hiding place. Build something that won't leak. And he built an ark and got his family into it and sailed faithfully for over a year. Preaching tonight on faith. Turn to the book of Hebrews. More scriptures than I'll ever get around to giving you, but I'm going to start. Because I want you to get these two connections at least, three chapters and connect them. Hebrews 10. Now, I'm not the only preacher. I'm not the only preacher that believes in living by faith. No, sir. We have others. We know that preachers in this auditorium right now that are just maybe striking out by faith. And let me tell you this. You won't walk by faith very far until you find yourself outside the gate. That's the first thing God will do. He'll set you outside the gate. You don't walk with Jesus by faith and stay inside the gate of popularity, denominationalism, religion, and all the rest. Brother, you'll find yourself. But I tell you what, many years ago, about 30 years ago, when I stepped outside the gate, and even though I lost a generation of my preacher boys, I lost a generation of preacher friends. And I tell you, 30 years later, it's far better than it ever was before. And I got out there and I looked all around and my preacher boys is gone, 23 of them, and that church I was pastoring, 23 of them gone. And lifelong preacher friends were gone, and one of the preachers said I wouldn't even walk down the street with Brother Olaf now, and so forth. And I just looked around and you know what? I kept looking to, you know what I found outside the gate? Amen. Everything I needed. He was right there. He said, son, I've been outside the gate a long time. I was born outside the gate. Lived outside the gate. Died outside the gate. He said, just welcome. And brother, he's been so faithful. Hebrews 10, verse 31, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. I don't intend to fall into his hands. I'm going to, by faith, walk into his hands. But sinners are going to fall one of these days.
into the hands of a living God, not a dead God. Verse 32, but call to remembrance the former days in which after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of affliction. After what? After ye were illuminated. What is the illuminator? It's the word of God. Thy word have I hid in my heart. Now what he's saying is this. After you've got your soul illuminated with the truth, you can take it. You can stand it, no matter what it is, partner, while you're made a gazing stock. I tell you, that's come through in my life this year. I don't complain about this, it's been wonderful. Gazing stock both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly while you became companions of them that were so used. Everybody saw, you know, the television. I tell you, I never got on television so much. Newspaper. My picture was in the paper, the front page of the paper. I don't know how many days in Corpus Christi during all the great revivals we've had in church building and all the home building and all the rescue missions we built and all the schools we started. I never did get my picture on the front page until all of this began to happen. But you've been made a gazing stock. Go down the street and said, that's him right there. Yeah, you don't mean it. Is that Brother Olaf? Miss Olaf walked in the store and she would sign her name or mention her name and they said, are you the Mrs. Olaf? She said, yes. Yes. Brother, let me tell you something. There'll be a few things happen to you as you go along. But there'll never be enough bad things to overshadow the good things that you have. Why, brother, these light afflictions are nothing. Nothing. I never have gone through what many of our great Christians have gone through. And so he said you became companions of them that were so used. Now then, I've had some companions. I mean, we've had flocks of companions that stayed with us, preachers, for you had compassion of me in my bond, and took joy for the spoiling of your good, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense and reward, for you have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God. Now, brother, here's the test right here. After you've done the will of God and nothing happens, brother, you need some patience then. God may tarry long, but he never comes too late. God's train is running right on time tonight, and it's on the main line. But the one thing that bothers a lot of little shallow, tongue-thumb Christians, they wonder why God doesn't run his train on your track. Well, your track wouldn't hold his train up. You might receive the promise for yet a little while, and he that shall come and will not tarry. Now here's your text. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. For we're not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Now here we come to the 11th chapter. 40 verses, you ought to memorize every verse. Preacher, I don't understand why you wouldn't memorize this chapter. Now, faith is, what a statement that is. Three words. What kind of faith do you have? Well, I want to have an overcoming faith. I want to have a now faith. If I've got a now faith, it'll overcome. A lot of people say, well, way back in apostolic, no, that won't help me much. I'm living in a different time. I've got to have a now faith. Now faith is, that's present tense. Faith will do today what it's always done. Because God's still God, and Christ is still Christ. So he said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand the worlds were framed of the word of God, so the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent Abel, no, a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testifying of his gift, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony to please God. So far as I know, Enoch was the first astronaut. Now we talk about, oh, this is a miracle generation. No, it's not. has less miracles performed in this generation than any generation I ever read about. We've got a lot of electronics, and we've got a lot of important inventions that have been made, space travel, airplanes and jets and all, going to the moon and all that. That's not a miracle. Did you know that? They've got that figured out according to natural science. You know it. You think they're having all that prayer meeting before they launch one of those deals? No. You think they go down there and say, now, folks, we're not going to put any motor in this. We're going to just trust God to get it off the ground. I mean, you think those fellas go down there to Cape Kennedy and say three astronauts just go out there and stand just like that and say, now, we're trusting the Lord to put us on the moon. Now, if they did, that'd be a miracle. Amen? Man, listen here, and spent all of our tax money getting ready. And the one computer stopped the whole business. You remember that? Yeah, the computer went on a shutdown strike. And so there it is. Well, let me tell you something. A miracle, to me, is when God said, Enoch, you want to go walking with me? He said, yes, I do. He said, come on. And brothers, they began to walk. They began to walk. And a little bit, Enoch said, Lord, I'm airborne. Why, he said, good, you're walking with me. That's a miracle.
Amen.
I mean, on the Mount of Transfiguration, when Jesus took Peter, James, and John, and they were up there, and all of a sudden, a couple of astronauts came. They didn't splash down, they just landed quietly. They weren't in a capsule. They didn't have homemade oxygen. Brother, they just come in and landed. And Peter said, James and John, you see what I see? He said, that's Moses and Elijah. He said, they don't come back. Sure they have. And Peter said, I believe we better build three tabernacles. And I imagine Peter, James, and John said, don't build any for us because we won't be here long. I mean, we had all we wanted to this when we was down here. Now, we done graduated. We'll be going home in a minute. And brother, that was a miracle. What is a miracle? A miracle is something that God does. I'm not a miracle worker. But I'm in touch with a miracle worker. Now the just shall live by faith. Now then, you know that through the book of Hebrews chapter 11, and we read a lot of times, we'd say by faith Noah, and through faith Sarah, and by faith Abraham, and by faith to pass through the Red Sea, by faith Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. By faith he crossed the Red Sea by dry land. By faith the Rahab pilot passed not with them that believe not, after he received the spies with faith, and by faith, and what shall I more say? Why, he said the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David. Also, you ever notice that? Seemed like there was a break in there. And he said, David also. I wonder maybe if the human effort didn't say, Lord, I don't suppose we'd put David in, will we? You know, David, he made such a blunder and such a mistake. And I tell you, last night we preached about him. I don't suppose we'll put David in. Oh, yes, said you put David. He said, well, David also. David also. Just sort of like, he's writing over there, you remember, in the book of Genesis, and that's like he got talking about the moon and the sun, and man, those great big lights are shining, and looked like he forgot to put the stars in. The Lord said, now, come on. Man, them stars are bigger than you think they are. They said stars also. You remember that? Stars also. Hey, put them in there. Brother, let me tell you something. What God wants in, put it in. May seem little to you, but when God wants it, well, by faith the walls of Jericho, these all, having obtained a good report, have through faith received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Now, here we are. Now, this is 1974 coming up now. I mean, chapter 12 brings us up right now. Wherefore, seeing we also, that's us, we also are compassed about. You know what a compass is? Well, if you ever fly very much, you'll get to appreciate the compass. I had a compass to go out in my plane the other day. I'm sure glad I had two. The Bible said we're compassed about. That's 360 degrees. That means everywhere.
All the way around.
All the way around. God compasses about with what? Song? Mercy? And we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Witnesses. Think about it. people, witnesses have got us circled and they're looking at us. And so we're so great to Christ. Well, let us lay aside. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin. I'm talking about living with faith. Most of you are not willing to lay aside the sin, let alone the weight. Brother, we got a race to run, and you don't run it with a lot of excess baggage. We'll never have revival until we get our people. And if I preached on tonight, some of you get as mad as an old wet hen. You'd go on swelled up and said, I just think he went too far. I just think that he's just narrow-minded and straight. Yeah, that's right. Thank you. Oh, yes, I know what you'd say. Boy, if I begin to climb into your diamonds and stick pins and all that bunch of junk that you hang on you and the way you waste money and the way you live and the way you look and all your silly vanity and spend time in beauty parlors and sit on vanity benches when you ought to be in prayer parlors, you'd get as mad as a horn. Some of you swelling up now. You don't have any vision for the future. Waste your money. I'll tell you one thing. God's going to bring us down pretty soon. As long as we can spend as much as we do on dog food and cat food and take care of a bunch of little old poodles and a bunch of other wasted money, you wait. God will bring you off of that stuff one of these days. Oh, yes. I tell you, these old horses, people spend so much money on saddles and bridles and all that kind of... you can't eat them horses, at least not supposed to. Lord, how much... I haven't told this, but somebody sent me a clip the other day. And to me, it's just so stupid and sinful and sorry, but it's typical of our people. And a lady was coming out of the courtroom with a little poodle in her arms. She was one of the maids of the mistress. And they'd gone to court, and the paper put the article in and said, Little One, that's the name of the little poodle. Little One was awarded $9,000. $9,000, Little One. Was awarded because, and the man who ran the, what do you call that? I guess a dog salon. I mean, you know, he sheared the poodle. And when he did, he clipped a little piece of the hide. And they took it to court, and the little one was sitting there in the court. Blinking. Little one. They said little one had been injured, and he was really, as a result of the little nipping of the hide, had become mentally retarded. And little one got $9,000. Thank you. Isn't that silly? Lord, have mercy. I mean, it wouldn't have bothered me if you'd chopped off his head. You think I'm ugly, but brother, when you see little girls dying and boys dying and you need money to take care of back roads, brother, you quit worrying about poodle dogs.
Amen.
Bunch of vain Americans have no more compassion on people than nothing. Run around. I know the Humane Society will burn my hide when they hear me preach this sermon. Oh, just write your letters, you bunch of people, all you want to. I'm kind to everybody, but today's going to come when we're going to need our money for food and clothes for our boys and girls to reach and win them for Christ.
Amen.
You'd heard them cry themselves to sleep, and if you'd sit on them hour after hour to hold them down coming through flashbacks, and if you'd say 15 to 25 all night long screaming and hollering, chewing their tongues and biting one another and blood dripping from our workers, you'd think, brother, you'd quit worrying about a bunch of poodle dogs and quit wasting your money on a bunch of junk. People haven't got a vision anymore. They don't know what it is to rescue the perishing. We talk about sacrifice. I get tired of some little religious meeting and some dear sister, and I've seen it many times, and said, now, ladies, we just must give our all. Big old diamonds flashing blinds you while she's talking. I wanted to say, well, sister, bring your diamonds. Here, I'll sell those. That's part of it. Hang on to a bunch of junk. You won't go through the rapture with it on, honey child. I guarantee that junk will fall like hail balls back on this earth if you make it. And you can just get mad. I'm talking about what the Bible said. Sitting with comforts about with so great a crowd of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and these sins that doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before me endured the cross, despising the shame,
and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such great contradiction of sinners, lest you be wearied and faint in the mind. Brother, you better think about Jesus. Oh, listen, he who said he had no place to lay his head. He saw those old foxes going toward that hole when the thunder began to roll and the lightning began to flash. He said, they've got a hole to get into. I'll be an open storm tonight. He saw that old eagle wing her way across that old chasm and land on solid rock and walk inside the sheltered nest. And he said, tonight, I'll weather the storm in Gethsemane or some lonely place of prayer. You cuss me and fuss me all you want to, sister, brother, because of what I try to take away from you, because you have no right to have it as a child of God. You'll be glad to give it up for Jesus. You can't take it home with you when you go. Oh, if you could hear the cry that I hear every night before I go to sleep of a million girls and a million boys in the hippie hives and dope hives and see them as they die from OD. Listen, I know of a county in this country where one dies of OD every month that rolls around. 12 little old children lay down and die. They said every month there's at least one dies from an overdose of dope. If you could see them come in ravaged and diseased, venereal disease and sin, expecting and all the rest of it. If you could see what I've seen these last 10 or 15 or 20 years, dear friends, you wouldn't fuss when I preach like I'm preaching tonight. Now, the just shall live by faith. Jesus said, how is it that you have no faith? Where is your faith, he said. I want to give you something else. You remember when he came down off of the Mount of Transfiguration? He came to the disciples, and the man had brought his little son, and they tried, but they couldn't. And Jesus said two things. Faithless. What comes after that? Perverse. You know why we got a perverted nation? It's faithless. You get your faith settled. Jesus said to Simon one day, he said, Simon, you know, I saw something in this today I've never seen, and it was sweet and blessed. He said, Simon, Simon. And he gave me attention twice, he called his name. He didn't say Peter. He said, Simon. Simon, Satan has sought to have thee. Well, that's all that Satan could get. He couldn't get anything but Simon. He couldn't get Peter. Amen? Brother, he may get Lester, but he can't get Brother Olaf. That's it. Simon, Satan has sought to have thee, that he might sift thee. He didn't say that he might take you to hell, that he might sift thee as wheat. But I've prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. So that when thou art converted, you'll strengthen the brethren. Amen. You know what? I believe that after we get saved, we ought to get converted.
Amen.
I really do. I think everything we've got ought to. I believe your pocketbook ought to convert.
Amen.
And if it doesn't, it's perverse. I believe that your mind ought to be converted. I believe you ought to change your reading material. I believe you ought to change what you're looking at. I believe you ought to change the way you talk and the way you walk. I believe your vocabulary ought to improve and have sanctified talk. He said, I've been praying that you'd just get converted. I prayed for you that thy faith fail not. Now then, I didn't see this till today. Simon Peter just rose up and stuck out his chest, and I suppose he probably had a good reason. He said, why, I'm willing to go with thee. To prison, to jail, or to death. It doesn't make any difference to me. And Jesus said, slow down. In other words, be careful, son. Now then, reckon why Simon Peter, have you ever thought about why he said that? Didn't Jesus just say, I prayed for you? Didn't Simon Peter jump up and maybe that was a compliment to Jesus and he wanted it to be? He said, well, if you're praying for me, I can't lose. I'm going to make, but brother, let me tell you something. Jesus has prayed for me. But I made some pretty serious blunders in my life. How about you? He prayed for me. I mean, I got to thinking a while ago, I was making the broadcast, some of them today, for the 15-minute stations, and I got to thinking of Jesus. I mean, if I turned off my light at night, and if I felt or heard somebody kind of lightly walking through my bedroom, and I just saw an image, and he knelt by the side of my bed, and
put his elbows over on the bed, and I heard that gentle, sweet voice begin to pray. God bless Brother Roloff tonight. Strengthen him and give him a good night's rest. Wake him tomorrow with renewed strength and energy. Give him resurrection power. Give him soul winning. Give him compassion. Give him preaching power. Ah, listen. And I pray that, Father, that thou wouldst keep him from evil and from sin and give him victory every day that he lives and help him to finish the course with joy. And listen, if I listened to that and heard that and I said, say, that's Jesus. He came in my room praying for me. That's him praying for me right now. Brother, and yet in the 17th chapter of John, he said, I pray not only for these, but for all those that shall come after. And he's in his intercessory prayer meeting right now. And he's operating his PBX board with a private line to 3 billion people. Never busy. Never out of order. Always willing to listen and answer the phone when they call. He said, before they call, I will answer. While they're yet speaking, I will hear. Remember you gave me that the other night? Oh, yes, on Christmas Eve, I think it was, or Christmas, somebody. Yeah, that's right. That's the way God spoke to him, by coming up here to be your pastor, see. Yes, dear friends, the Lord still hears and answers prayer. Help me now. I'm going to give you some things about faith. You get a good report through faith, subdued kingdoms through faith, kept by the power of God through faith, made whole by faith. And the Bible said there's one faith, one faith, just one faith. Oh, I know a lot of people say, well, I am of the Baptist faith. I am of the Methodist, and I have the Catholic faith. Brother, there's just one faith. It's the faith of Christ. I didn't get saved by my faith. I got saved by his faith. I'm saved by the faith of Christ. I'm kept by the faith of Christ. I have a salvation that's built on the faith of Christ. Now then, I want to give you six things and close the message. Number one, and you must receive this, faith is just a gift. The Bible said he's measured every man the gift of faith. Every man the gift of faith. We can all have faith because it was given to us. You must exercise the faith that God gives. By grace you're saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Did you know that I never worked up faith and never worked in the faith? God gave me the faith. He gave me faith. Now, I know I had to listen. Faith came by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And it comes by hearing. That's the second thing I want to give you. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, the Bible says that we are to contend for the faith. See? The faith. I mean, there's only one faith, and that's the faith we're talking about. It comes from the Word of God. And he said we're to contend for it. I believe we've lost some of our contending for the faith. I believe, and that's what I've been doing, actually, in this fight that's recorded in Liberty Bell. That's all the fight's about. I mean, they told me that we've got a little book, a little brown book we want you to go by. And I said, I got a big black book I've got to go by. And they said, no, no. Said, you can place that on the side. And I said, no, it's a mainliner. And I said, I'm going to have to go. And I said, your little book. And sure enough, it wasn't very long until they rewrote it. I didn't have to rewrite mine, just rewrite it, reread it every year. Go through it, and it's sweeter all the time. Love the Bible far more today than it did 41 years ago when God called me to preach. And so, in this book, I find all that my soul hungers for. And so, I need to contend, and I will contend. Now then, I don't believe that I'm all that contentious. I believe we can contend for the faith without being contentious. But sometimes we're accused of that. And people say, well, you're stubborn, you're narrow-minded, and you're hard to get along with. No, it's just a matter of staying by the truth. Staying by the truth, just like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and all the rest of them. And so by faith, by hearing, we get to faith. Now then, I want to give you something else. The Bible says, and this is found in Luke chapter 16. Have you ever wondered, and preachers, you're here tonight, you preach to your people, be faithful. Be faithful. Now you've got to be faithful. I want you to be faithful. Every service, I want you to be faithful. You've got to be faithful. If you're going to be a Sunday school teacher, you've got to be faithful. Now listen, the way to get them to be faithful is to preach much of the Word of God to them and then get the faith into them. Now, faithful, you know what the word faithful means? It means full of faith. Now, the way to be full of faith is to be full of the Word of God. Did you know that living by faith has caused me to do some rather drastic things. I gave away my library. I said, if I'm going to live by faith, I need one book. I got rid of all my sermon outlines. And you say, that's silly, I know. That's what y'all thought you were going to say. And I walk in the pulpit. Now, this is why some preachers say, well, it just seems like Brother Wolf disorganized. I mean, he never knows what he's going to say next. Well, that's the truth, I don't know. And the preachers say, well, Brother Wolf gets in the pulpit, and he said, now, y'all pray with me. I don't know what I'm going to preach tonight, but I'm going to ask God for a message now. And that's the truth. That's the truth. Are you listening? Now, what do you think he means when he said, live by faith? And if I preach something that's not by faith, then how in the world could it please God? Why don't you just be faithful and take a look at it? Now, the just shall live by faith. If you're going to live by faith, preaching's my living. And if I live by faith and preach by faith, then I'm going to have to trust God to give it to me when I get in the pulpit. Now, you'd say, well, Brother Olaf, I don't understand exactly. Well, you don't have to understand. You can't figure out faith save your life. Now, here's what I do. If I read nothing but the Bible, study nothing but the Bible, believe nothing but the Bible, and if I get up in the pulpit and I'm full of the Word of God, then God can turn on the hydrant and out come the Word of God. Now, let me say something else without being ugly or facetious or conceited. That's the reason I enjoy my preaching. Then nobody enjoys my preaching more than I do when God does the preaching. Now, don't think I've gone in the pulpit dry and went up dry and came out dry and all that, but I knew that wasn't God. And I want you to know one thing. If you live by faith and preach by faith, you'll please God, and God will bless your soul. And I'm saying tonight, if you'd memorize, and if I had preachers here tonight that under my ministry, I'd assign you at least 50 or 100 chapters of the Word of God until you to get at it. Preacher came to me the other night, he said, I've been called to preach, Brother Olaf. What is your advice for a young preacher? I said, memorize the Bible and get at it. That kind of astounds them. I said, memorize it by the chapter. Don't ever memorize it by the verse. All right, to memorize a few verses, but memorize the chapters. Colossians chapter 3, Romans chapter 8, and Hebrews chapter 11. And Matthew, the Sermon on the Mount, 5th, 6th, and 7th chapter. If you want to know what Jesus did when he started running for king of this old world, he put out Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And if you'd like to memorize the book of Psalms, why, Psalm 1, and Psalm 8, and Psalm 19, 23, 24, and 27. And you memorize, everybody ought to memorize 51, and 67, and 73, and 91, and 90, and 100, and 121, the traveler's psalm. You ought to memorize the Word of God. Sit around and drive. Why, if you knocked on the door tonight, and Gabriel came to the door, and he said, who is it? Well, he said, this is Bill Smith. I'm coming home. He said, all right, quote me half a dozen chapters and come on in. You'd say, you better bring me a Bible and give me about 30, 40 days because I don't believe I'm, I'm going to shame you. You talk about the Word of God. Oh, listen, I woke up this morning singing, blessed book, precious book, on thy dear oath is plainly, I love to look, thou art sweeter day by day, as I walk the narrow way that leads at last to that bright home. Up above, brothers, show me your Bible, and I can take your spiritual pulse. I'll put you in my diagnostic center and examine you with what your Bible looks like.
Amen.
Your attitude and faith and your time in the Word of God determines what kind of Christian. That's the reason I hate television. That's the reason I hate newspapers. That's the reason I hate a bunch of these old magazines. Oh, I wish I could get God's people in the Word of God today. You mothers and dads wonder why your children are drifting. Wonder why they disrespect you and don't mind. You don't have Bible authority. Anybody's got Bible authority, you can demand obedience and you'll get it. Any husband that's got the Bible authority can demand obedience on the part of his wife, she'll come under. We need Bible.
Bible of any preacher that gets up in the pulpit and preaches with authority, not like the scribes, not like a bunch of newspaper writers. If you get up and preach with authority, the pew will have to line up or either get out.
Amen.
I'm talking about faith tonight.
Amen.
Oh, listen. What about faith? Faith comes by hearing. We need to contend for the faith. In Luke chapter 16, I'm going to give you this. Chapter 16 and verse 10. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much.
Amen.
And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore you've not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, our money, our material things, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you've not been faithful in that which is another man, who shall give you that which is your own? Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth nor fame. There's a crown, and you can win it if you go in Jesus' name. Soon this old battle will be all over. Soon we're going to gather to that sweet harvest home. Then we'll hear if we've been faithful with soldiers. Come a marching on home, and little is much. When we've laid this old carcass aside and we've marched up into His presence, the only way we'll ever hear, "Well done," is to be faithful. He said, "Well done, thou good." Now notice that. I never saw that just like I saw it today. First of all, good. That's God. "Well done, Christ-like servant. Well done, Spirit-filled servant. Well done. Now you've been faithful over God's not unreasonable. A few things. Over a few things. Make you ruler over many things." Faith. Oh, so many experiences I'd like to share. One, two, a will. I've been through, I guess, about as many financial crises, and I'm facing one now, because of the efforts of the world to stop us by starving us and tell the people that I'm a racketeer and a thief and a black market man to sell babies and I'm a millionaire. And all that's come out in the papers and on NBC. All that. And so, of course, the weak need and the people that don't know, they said, "Well, I guess maybe we'll just count him out. He's so controversial anyhow and in so much trouble all the time. I guess maybe we'll just stop our support." A few of the churches fell by the wayside, said, "Brother Wolof, we'll not be sending a gift any longer. Sorry about that." But then some much said, "Some of it must be so. And I guess we'll not be writing anymore." Yes. But you know, one day I was down in prayer and was studying Corpus Christi. I know this is simple, but it's so. And I was praying for some needs to be met. And actually, did you know that while I was praying right there, when I got through praying, I saw $200 laying right there on the divan in my study where I was kneeling. $200 was on the divan. Well, you said, "Did it just drift down?" No. I don't know, but I think one of the deacons came in quietly on the carpet and didn't disturb me and just laid $200 down. Now,
he didn't know what I was praying for. The only reason he could know is God had to tell him, because I didn't tell him. I didn't tell him. I've opened my Bible. I've opened my Bible. I've found $100 bills in my Bible. Where they came from, I have no idea. I have no idea. Now, I know a lot of you, then we won't look at my Bible tonight when the service is over. I've in a motel one night. I mean, back in a real crisis when I was just beginning the radio ministry, and I was plunging $50,000 for a contract, $100,000 for a contract, another $300,000 for a radio station that I do not own, but got it on the air, and all of it a work of faith. And listen, you can't imagine. You can't imagine when the Lord laid it on my heart to buy that station. They kicked me off of it three times. And the Lord said, son, don't cry anymore. I want you to buy it. $300,000. And so I asked my lawyer to go ahead and try to buy it and offer $300,000. He said, how much money put down? I said, $1,000. He said, how much money do you have? I said, not a penny. Not a penny. He said, are you kidding? I said, no, I'm not kidding. The Lord done spoke to me about that. And so, sure enough, he said, came back and he said, you'll have to put down $25,000, earnest money, and then another $100,000 in 90 days. And I said, you, and in 1 week's time, there's $25,000 laying on my desk. And said, and friends, he just dropped it. I mean, put it down. He said, Brother Wolf, here it is. I mean, I just let you have it personally, and you pay it back when you can. And so, sure enough, and we came up to the 90 days, and the lawyer called me that morning and said, Brother Wolf, do you realize that you're fixing to lose $25,000 today unless $7,250 more is in the bank on that $100,000 by 2 o'clock this afternoon? I said, get off the line, and I'll see what we can do about it. And listen, did you know that 1:15 that day, a man by the name of Jack O.H. Richards, one of our converts, called me and said, my wife was just praying, and said, Brother Olaf, and all I lacked at 1:15 was $250. And he called me on the phone and said, Brother Olaf, do you have any need today for $250? I shouted all over the study, and I said, man, come running. Brother, I'm talking about faith tonight. Oh, when we started the first city of refuge, really, this is the truth. Oh, may God refresh my mind of all of His goodness in this crisis that I face tonight. And we started the city of refuge, didn't have a lick of money, just want to take care of drunkards and dope addicts. And we went up and we poured concrete. I got a friend of mine, Elton Brimberry. I said, Elton, will you pour that slab for me? And for the next 30 days, and I'll try to get the money for it and trust God for it in 30 days. And he said, sure will, Brother Olaf. And so he went up there and poured $5,000 worth of footings and concrete for a big, our first city refuge building up in old Lee County. And I went down to Houston. I had an old radio friend there. And I decided, well, I better go see her. She came from the old country, but she'd written me, you know, and I just never had seen him. So I just went up there, I rang the doorbell, and I tell you, there was screen locks, two or three of them on the door, and the door was locked. And I looked through the glass door, and Bonnie and Charlie came to the door. That's two big dogs. And they greeted me. Big old fat dogs, you know. They were her guardians. She lived by herself in that old house. I can see that old two-story house. Old house on Shenewood Street in Houston, Texas. And she just kind of opened the first door and looked through the screen and said, first of all, she said, who is it? I said, it's Brother Olaf. And she said, Brother Olaf, said, the one up here on the radio? And I said, yes, ma'am. She opened the first door and said, talk some more. I talked some more. And she said, you sound like Brother Olaf. I said, come in. She took me in the first room, and I never shall forget, had an old bed with a big tapestry covering over the top of way up there, you know. And then she sat me down there by an old-fashioned pump organ. She talked a little more, and she said, come on in here. And she took me in another room. She said, sit down. She talked some more. She looked me over. She listened to me. She was waiting for the witness of the Spirit. She took me and said, come into the kitchen. And she said, I'd like to serve you some grape juice. And I drank a glass of grape juice, and she'd heard me on the radio for many years. And she took an old crooked walking stick and took the hook of it, and she reached under
a sewing machine and pulled out a paper sack, the most interesting paper sack you've ever seen in your life. How I'd love to find some of those paper sacks tonight. She reached in that paper sack and she said, Brother Olaf, hold out your hand. And I held out my hand. And she placed a $1,000 bill in my hand. And another $1,000 bill in my hand. And another $1,000 bill in my hand. And another $1,000 bill in my hand. $4,000. And then she placed $500 bills in my hand. Made 5,000, and then she got down to the $100 bills and began to file those out. Over $5,000. You know what she said? I wonder, maybe I may come to the city sometime and I'd like something hard to walk on. In other words, she didn't know that I'd poured concrete to the tune of $5,000. God heard and answered prayer. I'm talking about living by faith tonight. Living the base stew we've operated for these 30 years. A work of faith. All the churches, all the buildings we have in all of our places, the City of Refuge, $108,000 worth of property, 273 acres, and the real estate man said the other day, you know it's worth three times what you gave for it. Brother, faith is not foolish. Faith is real. And Jesus would have you to live by faith tonight. And the Bible said, now the just shall live by faith. Oh, during these days, these last 30 years that we've been launching by faith. But you know, it all started, really, when I stepped outside the gate and said, Lord, why can't I live by faith? Get the text again. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things. I've seen with my eyes, except by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to give you what Titus said. Rebuke them sharply. Rebuke them sharply. You know what sharply is? That's with the sword. Rebuke them with the Bible, and that'll make them sound in the faith. We need to be sound in the faith. Our heart needs to be sound in the faith. And when I stand before the Lord one of these days and hear that, well done, good and faithful servant, faithful over a few things, I'll make you ruler over many things. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. Oh, one glimpse of His dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. You'll not regret it when you come to the end of the trail to have received Him by faith. And let me remind you, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. You're saved by grace through faith, and you're kept by the power of God through faith, ready to be revealed in the last time. Brothers, I ask you tonight, have you been saved? You start living by faith by being saved. Second, you continue by living in the book. Third, you continue living by faith by not running with infidels or going to an infidel church. You need to go to a Bible-believing, gospel-preaching church if you want your faith to grow. Walking down the road, and I must quit with this, one morning about 4 o'clock, many years ago, you'd never understand. I don't even understand it myself. Why I've lived in a constant crisis the last at least 30 years. When God called me to preach, I was sick, ignorant, unlearned, and flat broke. Didn't have a dime to my name. the Lord said, "Son, you can go to Baylor now." I said, "How?" Well, he said, "Take your towel with you and milk your way through. You can get your board and room." So I went up there, sure enough. And I knocked on the door. Mr. and Miss Neely, a little couple, I said, "Y'all going to run the boarding house here in this big old two-story farm?" I said, "Yes, we are." I said, "I'm Lester Roloff, and y'all going to need some milk, aren't you?" And they said, "Yes, we will." I said, "I'd like to furnish it." And they said, "Well, how much would you guarantee?" I said, "Well, at least 3 gallons a day. 3 gallons a day." Well, that's faith, wasn't it? And they said, "All right, now you'll have to get a place for your cow to stay. You know that." I said, "Yes, I'll find." So I walked right down between 7th and 8th Street, and right in here was an old beat-up garage, an old car shed, and weeds as tall as my head, and an old lot in there, you know. And so I said, "Well, now, that'd be a good place for my cow to stay. I mean, not even a half a block from where I'm staying." And so I went and knocked on the back door of an old beat-up, dilapidated, and a woman came to the door, and I'm telling you the truth. Now, I've seen a lot of people, but none like her. I mean, her hair was just all the way around, and it was coming down over her face, and she just barely could peek through, and her teeth, most of them were gone. And she said, "What do you want?" And it scared me half to death, really did. "What do you want?" I said, "I want a place to keep my cow." She said, "What do I get out of it?" I said, "Some milk." She said, "All right, you put the milk on the back steps every morning and night, and you keep this yard clean." I thought, well, it'd be more than it is now, but I'll do it. And so I brought my cow. Isn't the Lord gracious? Had a place. Why? I took my little old cow all over East Waco, finding grass patches. I mean, I'd find a big old Johnson grass patch or field, and I know, I guess I might have not done it exactly right, but I was afraid to ask them if I could let her graze. I was afraid they wouldn't let her. And I taught that little old cow, really, and she learned to live by faith. I mean, I'd just lead her down the street, and I'd see a big patch of green grass and Johnson grass, and I'd just kind of, you know, take the fence and put my foot on it, like, you know, to let people go through. And I'd pull up this wire, and she'd turn sideways. She'd go through it. She was learning to walk by faith. Simple, you say, but Brother Jesus was in it all. I knelt in the morning and I'd woke up in and said, "Lord, I can't pass my grade. And I can't sleep at night. Old football boys, J.B. Street and others would come in 3 o'clock in the morning. My light would be on, I'd be tossing. So my back, my shoulders hurting, aching. Open the door and say, 'Lester, what's the matter?' And I said, 'I just can't sleep. Could you come and rub my back?' And he said, 'Sure, Will.' He'd rub my back and maybe get me off to sleep for a couple of hours. 5:30 would come and I'd be gone to the cowshed. Doctor said to me, 'Son, you'll never make it. You'll never make it.' Dr. Cage Ainsworth said, 'You'll never make it, son. You better head for the farm. Ride that little old Spanish mare you got and work on the farm and jump in the tank and swim a little, but said you'll never make a preacher. Your little old body won't stand it. You're wound up too tight, son.' He said, 'You'll never live in the ministry.' That's been 41 years ago, and he's been dead many years. And Jesus said, 'Son, I'll help you. I'll be with you.' Oh, listen. No wonder I love him tonight. I'm ashamed that I don't love him more than I do love him tonight. But I know this. He's faithful. But for his mercies, I'd have been consumed long ago. Compassion's anew every morning. His faithfulness fails not, brother. God is real and able." But I started to give you this little song that came to me in a precious time. "You took the hand of Jesus, stepped out upon his promise, yet it seems that you trusted in vain. The answer you have prayed for, oh, it's on its way and paid for.
Hold.